As we move along in our study of the Old Testament book of Judges, we come this morning to the next in the line of the Judges, but to a man by the name of Jephthah. Jephthah is unfortunately known for having made a rash, unnecessary vow unto God, which was not necessarily a wrong thing, but it was just the manner in which he did it. And unfortunately, that became more of a notable characteristic of the man than all the good things that he did. We want to take a look at his life this morning. Judges chapter 11 gives us the background on this man by the name of Jephthah and his rise to the judgeship over the nation of Israel. Verse 1 says, "Now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor, and he was the son of a harlot. And Gilead begat Jephthah. Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up. And they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman." A couple of things that we find here in the background of this man. First thing we noted that he was a Gileadite. Simply all that means is that a man by the name of Gilead was his father. In fact, the end of verse 1 makes that very clear. Gilead, if you do a little search back in the book of Numbers, was the son, or one of the sons in the line of Manasseh. Well, that helps you out a lot, doesn't it? Manasseh, you might recognize the name, was one of the two sons that was born to Joseph when he was promoted to the leadership in Egypt under the Pharaoh that was there. Manasseh, and while Joseph was given by his father Jacob a double portion. And consequently, while there were 12 tribes of the 12 sons of Jacob, Joseph wasn't one of them. He having the double portion, his two sons became the leaders of two tribes. And consequently, Joseph gets his portion of the inheritance that way. Manasseh and Ephraim, as they were coming up from Egypt and getting ready to enter into the promised land, liked it on the east side of the Jordan River and said to the people, you know what, why bother taking land from you? We're kind of content out here. So Ephraim and half the tribe of Manasseh said, look, we'll go in, we'll help you fight, but when it's all said and done, we're settling down over here. So half the tribe of Manasseh was on the east side of the Jordan River. Jephthah was part of that half of that tribe and settled on the east side of the Jordan River. This is actually pretty interesting. I know you're sitting here saying, oh, tell us more. Especially when we get into next week's study. Part of the attack that's coming from the Ammonites next week is give us back our land. What's going on in Israel today? Well, the Palestinians are saying to the Israelites, give us back our land. This, where he's living, has already been given back to them. But it was part of the land that was given to Israel. Nonetheless, the Gileadites were descendants of Manasseh. They were living on the east side of the Jordan River. And they had become a fairly large tribe. Gilead himself apparently had a number of sons. It says here he was a Gilead and his wife bare him sons. I take it the way that is written, it was more than just two or three. In that the Gileadites became a significant group of people that the author of the book of Judges is writing about here. He had to have a significant number of sons. Now, it doesn't tell us exactly how many, but I'll bet you there was a bunch of them. When the dinner bell rang, it was mass feeding time. Consequently, they grew into quite an influential family. Jephthah was a mighty man of valor. Just one problem. He was the son of a harlot. The way this is written here, it looks as if his father Gilead had had this affair with this prostitute prior to the birth of his sons with his wife. Now, I can't prove that. I don't think there's definitive information here. But just the way it's written here, that this is in verse 1, verse 2 says, and his wife bare him son. It looks as if that Gilead had this affair prior to possibly his marriage, but more probable prior to the birth of his sons with his wife. If so, he was the oldest. And as the oldest, he would be the one who would get the double portion of his father's inheritance. His brothers didn't like that. His brothers said to him, "Now, this isn't going to be. You will not inherit our father's house." One commentary that I was reading said that there was the sin of greed with these brothers, that they were not willing to share the inheritance, the financial aspects of the father's house with this man. And that certainly is possible. The word valor that's found in verse 1 is an interesting Hebrew word. Normally it means, or at least in most usages, it means a person of courage, of physical strength and power, military advantage. But every once in a while, it can be used of a person of wealth. And it's possible here that these brothers were jealous of Jephthah's wealth. And they said, "You're not getting any more." Kind of the old Smothers Brothers, and I know for you younger folks, you're saying, "Who are they?" But it's the old "Mom liked you best" routine. Well, Dad liked you best. And that's possibly true. For you see, his father had this affair with this harlot. And normally speaking, if a man did this, he would just leave and go on with his life, and that would be the end of things. And if the woman had become pregnant by him and had a child, well, that was her tough luck, so to speak. And he would take no responsibility. Gilead, on the other hand, said, "Now, wait a minute. I have responsibilities in this. I am tending to believe," and again, I cannot prove it by any definitive information here, "but I am tending to believe that Gilead was a believer who fell into sin." And you know what? It happened. 33 years and 1 month ago, I trusted Jesus Christ as my Savior. I wish 33 years and 1 month ago, I would have stopped sinning. Unfortunately, I didn't. Over the course of time, The quantity of sins, and I hate to use this word, the quality of sins, has decreased. I think. I hope. I try. I set my mind and my heart to those things. But unfortunately, 33 years and 1 month later, I still find myself, on occasion, failing the will of God. It's true of all of us. I wish we could outgrow that sin nature that we're born with, but it's with us for the rest of our lives. And here is a man I am tending to believe who was a believer that fell into sin. And when sin entered into his life, he took the consequence of that sin. And he took the son to himself. The mother was a strange woman. Now, that doesn't mean she was psychotic or anything like that. It simply means, generally speaking, she wasn't a believer in Jehovah. And I think Gilead, then taking his son, said, look, I have a son. I am responsible for that boy. I want him growing up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And I will take him unto myself. And consequently, probably after that, he got married and had other sons through his wife. But here is this boy that was born that would have been his oldest son, and consequently, the one receiving a double inheritance. And his brothers are saying, oh, wait a minute, maybe you have a lot of wealth, and we're not giving you any more. I tend to believe, though, that that was not the issue. I tend to believe that this mighty man of valor was a person who had authoritative abilities, the ability to go forth against the enemies of Israel and gain victory. A person who had the governmental abilities, the ability to be a good ruler of people. And what these brothers are saying, in effect, is we will not have this man to rule over us. What's interesting here, I believe, is Jephthah becomes a type of Christ. Remember, the Pharisees came to the Lord Jesus, and they, as they were questioning and getting involved in a good old argument, they said to Jesus, we be not born of fornication. Implication, as you were. Well, here's Jephthah, who really was born of fornication. and the religious Jews of Jesus' day said, we will not have this man to rule over us, as they did with Jephthah. Now, as we'll see in just a moment here, if I ever get past the introduction, they're going to come to Jephthah and they're going to say, we want you to rule over us. And what's going to happen within the nation of Israel during the tribulation times, they're going to recognize that their Messiah, their real Messiah they crucified 2,000 years ago, or however long it will have been when the tribulation comes. And nationally, the people are going to repent and trust Christ as their Messiah, just as they're going to ask Jephthah to come and rule over. So I tend to think that this is an issue of authority. Gilead's wife bare him sons. The wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah. You know what? That wasn't fair to Jephthah, was it? He couldn't help who his parents were. He had nothing to say about that. Why should he be held responsible for something he had absolutely nothing to do with? Here he is, a God-fearing young man, a man that God has given some talent of leadership to, a man who is mighty in valor, and rather than his brothers looking up to him when his father is apparently at the place of death, they're saying, get out of here! That's not right, is it? Of course, you've never experienced being unjustly criticized for something either. And that's the unfortunate thing. There are times in life when we suffer the consequences of sin that we had nothing to do with. I can remember, I was about yay tall, I was two at the time, sitting in second grade. Somebody had done something, they had taken something that wasn't theirs, and the teacher said to the whole class, no one will go out for recess till this thing is returned. And I'm sitting there, that's not fair. I didn't take it. Why should I not be able to go out for recess? I mean, that was the most important day of my life. No, wait, that wasn't second grade. That was 11th grade. But that happens. The sin of others often brings consequences into our own lives. Well, what do? These brothers want to get rid of them, verse 3. Then Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. Sometimes you just need to go with the flow. This is the way it is. It's not the way it should be. But God will see me through. I will trust God that in His time He will make things right. And in the meantime, I will remain faithful. And I think that's exactly what Jephthah did. When he left, he went to this place called Tob, and there were gathered unto him vain men. Now, the word vain doesn't mean they stood around and looked in mirrors all day to see how pretty they were. The idea of vain has the idea of emptiness or not of great social stature. It does not necessarily mean that they were ungodly men, although oftentimes it does. But the idea here is these men were, they basically had one particular purpose, one good use. They were warriors. If you will, these were 2nd millennia B.C. people belonging to the A-team. You remember the old, I guess it was the 80s or 90s or whatever it was, the A-team movie or program on TV, and the A-team were a bunch of mercenaries that if you had a problem and nobody else could help, and if you could find them, you call the A-team. And the A-team solved all the world's problems. Well, that's what Jephthah and these guys were doing. They were basically a band of mercenaries that if there was a problem somewhere, they went around and they fought off the enemies. And Jephthah used his God-given abilities in doing what was right. He remained faithful. I love verse 4. And it came to pass in the process of time. God, according to Ecclesiastes chapter 3, makes all things beautiful in His time. Romans 8:28, we know that all things work together for good. When? In His time. It came to pass in the process of time that the children of Ammon made war against Israel. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon. Look, we got a whole bunch of people around here, but we have no one to lead us. Nobody with abilities like this Jephthah guy has. If he was on our side, we'd be okay. Let's go get Jephthah. And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, did not you hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are you come unto me now when you are in distress? I haven't changed at all. How is it that you couldn't stand me back then, but now I'm best thing since sliced bread? What's going on here? And what he is saying is, do you guys realize that you sinned? We don't see any particular mention that they realized that. All they're looking is, verse 8, and the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, therefore we turn again to thee now, that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon, and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead. Man, if you would come help us, we'd be, well, we're in a pickle. And you'd get us out of it. And I'll tell you what, if you do that, you can be our leader. Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, if you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head? Let's put this down in writing, boys. I want to know exactly where I stand. And the elders of Gilead said unto Jephthah, the Lord be witness between us, if we do not so according to thy words. Then Jephthah went with the elders of Gilead, and the people made him head and captain over them. And Jephthah uttered all his words before the Lord in Mizpah. There he raised his Ebenezer. The Lord hath helped us. As we will see next week, They go out and they fight and they win the battle, and Jephthah becomes the head over the nation of Israel. But there are a number of points of application that we can make to this morning. Some of us are here, undoubtedly, having committed sins in the past that we wish would never happen. Probably all of us are in that case. And I want you to know that when sin repented of does not necessarily mean that life will never, ever be productive. Here's Gilead. Blew it. Big time. And yet God used the son that was created out of a sinful relationship to judge the people of Israel and to protect the people of Israel. It doesn't matter what your past is. The forgiveness of God makes your future perfect. Don't live in the past. Oh, I've done this and I'll never... Gilead got over it when he confessed it to God and started living his life for God, because he took that son and he brought him up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. He said, okay, I blew it, but I'm going to make this right. And no matter how bad it was back then, it can be great out here. Don't live in the past. God's plan for us is always present and future. Secondly, world may hate you. Even people that should be close to you, like Jephthah's brothers, they may despise you. They may want to seek to get rid of you because of something that you couldn't help, like a God-given gift. Well, what do? God got me into this mess. Why should I live for Him? Because God's going to use that mess in changing the lives of others. And that's what happened to Jephthah. Here's a changed man, and who's going to change people. He comes back and he says, okay, I'll be head over you guys if that's what you really, really want. Oh, but just one thing. It's the Lord that's going to be in control of all things. And that's exactly what happened. Do you know God can use you for some wonderful things? Oh, God could never use me. I don't have much to offer Him. I don't know that Jephthah necessarily had a lot of talent, but he was a man of valor, a man of courage, a man willing to do what God wanted him to do. And God can take even the most quote-unquote insignificant things of your life and use them for glory if you remain faithful. Then there's the people of Gilead. Man, they blew it big time. Faithless, possibly greedy, apparently sinful, because the children of Ammon came and afflicted them, and God wasn't going to let that happen if they were faithful people. So apparently they were living in sin. And we know the progression of idolatry and so forth. They probably were in it again. I wonder how many times this has been. Well, let me go back here and make a count. We had that judge. I'm running out of fingers. Had a whole cycle of judges. Well, I should go this way. Whole cycle of judges and repentance and sin and idolatry and repentance and sin and idolatry and repentance. Over and over. Lord, here am I again. Fell back into the same old stuff. Lord, how do you put up with me? Thank you for not saying, Reiner, I've asked myself the same question about you. because his love is great. That's all there is to it. And his forgiveness is wide. God is always waiting. As long as there is time for you to come to a place where you say, Lord, I blew it again. Forgive me. Save me. Maybe there's one here this morning that's at that place right now. Life has been terrible. I've sinned and sinned and sinned and sinned. Lord, how can you put up with me? A sinner undone, unclean, ungodly. But God commendeth his love toward us. That once we get our lives straightened out and all cleaned up, we can be his children. No, it's not how the scripture reads. God commendeth his love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Isn't that love marvelous? Isn't that love great? Amen. And you need to respond to it this morning. Lord, here am I. Save me. If that's the case, I want you to know that God is waiting with open arms, just as Jephthah was waiting for the children of Israel to come back and willing to rule over them. And just as the Lord Jesus Christ is waiting for the nation of Israel one day to lift up their arms and say, boy, did we blow it! Save us. And he will. Let's pray. Father, what a wonderful picture we have of the Lord Jesus Christ in the person of Jephthah. What a man of integrity who responded appropriately when those who should have loved him, should have recognized him, cast him out. And a man that was not overcome with pride or hurt, but a man of compassion, that when his people finally recognized their sin, responded lovingly and forgivingly and appropriately, that he would come back and lead the armies, not for his own personal gain, but for what he could do for them. What a picture of Calvary's Savior. Father, I pray if there's one in this congregation this morning who's never trusted the Lord Jesus as Savior, that right now the Spirit of God is speaking in such unmistakable terms to their heart that they recognize that they too are in need of salvation. And that Christ also is waiting for them with those same open arms and a heart of love that's willing to forgive when a person confesses Christ as their Savior and Lord. Lord, encourage your saints that are here this morning with even the bad things that happen in our lives that should happen, that you're working out these things for good. That we might remain faithful and use the gifts that we have for the glory of God and wait on you for the time of promotion. Lord, that's our plea. May we be found faithful. For the glory of God, I pray in Jesus' name.